This is Montana Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Edward O'Brien. Missoula drivers will be feeling the burn around town today. Presidential candidate Bernie Sanders is, of course, hosting a rally in Karis Park, prompting road closures all around downtown Missoula. The Higgins Bridge West Sidewalk, Karis Drive, and the parking lot under the bridge will be closed from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. The outside southbound lane of the Higgins Bridge and the Riverfront Trail from Karis Park to the bridge will be closed from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Sections of Ryman Street and Patty Street will be closed for most of the day. The Missoula Police Department encourages people attending the event to park at the Place and Central Park parking structures. For a full list of those road closures and restrictions, please check out our website at mtpr.org. The legal fight over oil and gas drilling leases near Glacier National Park has drawn support of a coalition of tribal and conservation leaders. Corin Cates Carney reports.
In March, the U.S. Department of the Interior canceled a 30-year-old oil and gas lease in the Lewis and Clark National Forest, land also known as the Badger II Medicine. Shortly after the federal government canceled the lease, the former leaseholder Solenex LLC challenged the government's authority to do so.
So the fight to protect the Badger II Medicine is far from over.
That's Earth Justice attorney Tim Presso. Presso filed a request in federal court Tuesday to oppose Solenex's challenge. Presso says Tuesday's filing will provide the Blackfeet tribe and conservationists a seat at the table during the case that will determine if the federal government has the authority to cancel a lease it granted decades ago. Blackfeet tribal member Jack Gladstone says the land is too sacred to drill.
The Badger II Medicine is one of those areas of solitude where we can continue to express our traditional practices, such as the Sundance, such as bundle opening, such as the Vision Quest.
Solenex says the government has acted outside the law, that its lease should be reinstated, and that Solenex should be awarded further compensation as the court sees fit. The case is being heard in the U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
Authorities have identified a 26-year-old man who died from his injuries after jumping into a shallow pool of water at the base of a waterfall in Glacier National Park. The Great Falls Tribune reports that a release from the park identified the man who died May 4th as Clint Corey, not afraid of Browning. Glacier officials say park rangers had responded to a report that a man had jumped feet first into Running Eagle Falls, which is between Two Medicine Lake and Lower Two Medicine Lake. Rangers had performed CPR, but the man was pronounced dead by medical personnel at the scene. Park officials say an initial investigation found that the man jumped from the falls on his own accord. No foul play is suspected. For the past 3 months, revenue flowing into Montana's general fund have slowed, and there are now nearly 4% behind projections. While state officials aren't yet alarmed, a continued slowdown could prompt state officials to reevaluate spending. A hiring freeze is in place at the Department of Transportation, which relies heavily on the gas tax. Meanwhile, the Department of Justice is also keeping an eye on gas taxes, which accounts for 80% of the Highway Patrol's budget. Cascade County officials have released the names of three Great Falls women who were killed when a sport utility vehicle traveling the wrong way on Interstate 15 collided head-on with a semi-tractor trailer. Coroner Bob Edwards says 27-year-old Valencia Began, 20-year-old Devon Denny, and 35-year-old Jessica Newser died early Monday. Newser also uses the last name Surechief. The Montana Highway Patrol says the women were traveling north in the southbound lanes shortly before 3 a.m. Monday when their SUV collided with the truck west of Great Falls. None of the women were wearing seatbelts. An October trial date has been set for a man charged with killing a Kalispell woman in eastern Montana. Cody Wayne Johnston is charged with deliberate homicide in the Valentine's Day 2013 death of Nicole Waller. Her body has not been found. The controversy over the federal government's proposal to remove grizzly bears from the endangered species list in the Yellowstone ecosystem is pushing thousands to speak out. Corin Cates Carney reports.
Hours before the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service closed public comment for the delisting of the bear on Tuesday, over 5,000 comments had stacked up. Some voiced support for delisting. One comment reads, "Please delist the grizzly. The population is stable and in fact increasing. Please do not bow to political and emotionally based rhetoric." Others, like Louisa Wilcox, think the listing the grizzly now would be a terrible idea. Wilcox, founder of the advocacy group Grizzly Times, was cramming to finish her more than 50-page comment before the deadline Tuesday at 10 p.m.
I'm trying to address some of the policy problems and logical inconsistencies and incoherence of the rule. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
She says the federal government's proposal doesn't add up with the science. Her husband, a former grizzly bear researcher, has submitted more than 70 pages. He says Yellowstone's grizzly population remains at serious risk due to climate change.
Yellowstone grizzly bears are too vulnerable, too precious, too few, and too isolated to be delisted at this juncture.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says the proposal to delist is in response to the successful recovery of one of the nation's most iconic animals. The grizzly bear population has rebounded from as few bears as 136 in 1975 to an estimated 700 to 1,000 today. In anticipation of delisting, Montana's Fish and Wildlife Commission is preparing grizzly bear hunting rules. They'll take those up in Helena on Thursday. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio.
The Ravalli County Sheriff's Department is investigating after a Corvallis school bus driver left a 16-year-old developmentally disabled girl on a school bus in a restraint system for 3 hours after the bus dropped other students off. School officials say the driver forgot to take the girl off the bus last Thursday. Family members told KECI-TV the girl has the cognitive ability of a 4-year-old. Under Sheriff Steve Holton says she needed to be harnessed in the bus seat for her safety. Superintendent Tim Johnson says the district is improving the way attendance information is shared between drivers and special services staff. The driver was placed on paid leave during an investigation and will not drive for Corvallis schools for the rest of the school year. The girl's family says she's no longer attending school in Corvallis. Thank you for listening. For Montana Public Radio, I'm Edward O'Brien.